Patristic Nectar Publications is pleased to present a new installment of 19 podcasts by His Grace Bishop Irenae of Richmond in his popular series, A Word from the Holy Fathers. These short meditations reveal the ancient wisdom of the Church Fathers and apply it to 21st century Christian living. And now, His Grace Bishop Irenae.
Welcome to this week's installment of A Word from the Holy Fathers. Through the prayers of our Holy Fathers, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy upon us and save us. Amen. In our previous broadcast, we looked at a passage by St. John of the Ladder on repentance, and I would like to continue with this theme in a slightly different context by a father of a much later date. St. John was writing in the end of the 6th and the beginning of the 7th century, but the saint on whom I'd like to dwell today, namely St. Simeon the New Theologian, wrote at the turn of the 11th century, dying around 1022. St. Simeon the New Theologian is one of the great examples of the heritage of the Fathers alive long after the period of the early Church. He is writing at the height of Byzantine power and influence, writing at a period where spirituality had often given way to decadence and imperialism, and yet which was always there to be tasted and touched by anyone willing diligently to give his heart to the ascetic struggle and to the love of God and his will. The title New Theologian given to St. Simeon speaks of this. It is not that he delivered a new theology, nor is it the case that there had not been theologians in the decades or centuries prior to him. The new in his title, New Theologian, speaks more of the power of renewal, of making things new. For in the world we often lose sight of the realities that are present and available to us through the grace of Christ, and real theology, that is a real encounter, experience, and relationship with the living God, is something that can ever be new and present. This is the testimony, the chief testimony, of St. Simeon in his legacy to us. But I want to speak today of one passage in particular from St. Simeon's 66th homily, in which he speaks about sin and guilt, and in particular, a temptation that we have witness of from the very beginning of creation, the temptation to cast blame when we encounter our sin. Here are the words of St. Simeon from his homily 66. God said to Abraham, the saint writes, in the day that thou eatest of it, that is, the forbidden fruit of the tree, thou wilt die the death. Here Simeon makes reference to Genesis 2, verse 17. That is the death of the soul, he continues. This happened immediately. Man was stripped of the garment of immortality. God said nothing more than that decree, nor did anything special happen after that. God, foreseeing that Adam was to sin, and desiring to forgive him if he repented, did not say anything more than the above. But Adam refused to acknowledge his sin, and did not repent even when he was accused by God, for he said, as the Scripture says, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she deceived me. That, a quotation of Genesis 3, verse 12. Now let me interrupt St. Simeon here to just note a few things about this text. In our last broadcast, we looked at St. John of the Ladder and his exhortation to repentance, his beautiful language of repentance, where he noted that even if a man fall, he finds in his fall the opportunity for godly mourning and a renewal of his baptism. Indeed, St. Simeon, in this passage, notes that God, in his foreknowledge, knew that Adam would fall, and provides every opportunity for Adam to repent. God, foreseeing that Adam was to sin, he says, desired to forgive him if he repented. This is why, St. Simeon suggests, there is no great cataclysmic anger evidenced in God in response to Adam's transgression. God simply provides the opportunity for the sinful creature to repent And indeed Simeon, like many of the fathers, suggests that had Adam repented, God would assuredly have forgiven him. But Adam refused to acknowledge his sin. Here we see the great alternative to the repentance that can come in a fall, which we saw last time in St. John of the Ladder. And that alternative choice is that when we fall into sin, we can deny it. Or worse, and indeed what we see in our first fathers, in Adam's legacy, is something worse than mere denial. It is the attempt to cast blame on another. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she deceived me. Here is how St. Simeon carries on in his homily, responding to that proclamation of the guilty Adam. Oh, woe to his blinded soul, Simeon says. Saying this, he as it were said to God, Thou thyself, God, art guilty, because the woman thou gavest me, she has deceived me. St. Simeon then reflects, This very same thing I myself now suffer, O wretched and miserable that I am, when I do not desire to be humbled, and to say with my whole soul that I myself am guilty of my perdition. But on the contrary, I say, that person over there caused me to do or to say this. He advised me. He knocked me off my path. Woe is my poor soul which speaks such words filled with sin, O most shameless and irrational words of a shameless and irrational soul. This is an extraordinarily powerful homily. Not only is Simeon willing to see himself repeating the sin of Adam, but he is able to see in that casting of blame upon another person a deeper spiritual truth. Adam, when he blames Eve for his transgression, is ultimately blaming God himself. For it was God who gave Eve to Adam, God who took her from Adam's rib to be a companion and a helpmeet on the way. Is it the case, Simeon suggests, that we could dare stand before God and say, the one you fashioned to be a helper is in fact the cause of my fall? This is in a way to cast the blame first upon Eve, but then ultimately upon the Lord himself. What great foolishness, what a blinded soul, Simeon calls this. And yet he does not do this simply to make Adam look bad to us in history. For, St. Simeon says so explicitly, this is the same thing that I myself now suffer. And the same is true for each of us, not solely for the saint, aware as he was of his own sinfulness. Every time any of us, every time I myself, stare into the face of my sin and say, I would not have done this had it not been for this person over there, or for that person over there. I was striving to do well, but he led me astray. He provided a temptation for me that I could not overcome. He was a stumbling block in my path. Every time I do this, St. Simeon says, I evidence that I do not truly desire to be humbled into real repentance. I do not desire to say with my whole soul that I am guilty of my own sin and my own fall. And St. Simeon, like all the fathers, is emphatic in repeating that unless we wish this humility, unless we wish this repentance, desire it and seek it, we shall not obtain it. God forces nothing on us, including repentance. Think of this, my dear brothers and sisters. Think of how often we attempt to cast the blame for our own transgressions on the influence of others. We excuse our gossip and our malicious tongues under the guise of conversations others were having into which I simply fell prey and became trapped. We excuse our judgment based on the fact that I'm not really judging, or the assertion that I'm not judging, but other people make comments like this, so must I. We excuse so much of our transgression by trying to explain it away by others. I would be more loving if only my neighbor were not so difficult. I would be more pious if only my family did not hinder me from my piety. I would be more forgiving if only those whom I needed to forgive would themselves show some repentance or some desire to reciprocate. Think of how many ways we try to cast the blame for our own transgressions on others around us. All priests who hear confessions, all spiritual fathers, know this phenomena, for we hear in confessions time and time again the recounting of other people's sins. A penitent comes to confession and says, I have done this, I have done that, but the reason is my husband did this, or my wife did that, or my neighbor did this. How often each of us attempts to cast the blame on another for our sin. Woe is our poverty of soul, St. Simeon says, when we speak such words, themselves filled with sin. God desires to grant us forgiveness, but receiving forgiveness is always contingent upon seeking it, upon offering repentance. And if instead of offering repentance we try to cast blame on another, ultimately not only do we fail to repent in any meaningful way, but we insult our Creator, who has given us husband or wife, co-worker, friend, companion, stranger, enemy. All of these God gives, and through all of them blessings may come. But in order for our heart to be such as receives the blessings of God, it must be a heart which admits of its own transgression, which, though others play a part in our sins, of course, we live in community, we live in society, nevertheless, they are not guilty or responsible for the transgressions of my own weakness. It is only when I stand before God and say, I alone have sinned before thee, O Lord. My transgressions are greater in number than the sands of the sea. Only then can my heart truly be healed. May this testimony of St. Simeon the New Theologian inspire us to be accountable before God and before our own conscience for the sins that we commit, the temptations into which we fall. May our relationship with our brother, with our sister, always be one of love and never of blame. And may we trust that God, seeing our genuine admission of our sin, will lift us up from it, for he desires to forgive us, even as he desired from the first to forgive Adam. May that forgiveness bring a renewal of heart and a deepening of our Christian life.